Yep, it's just got a little clip that we just want to watch this morning. It's about fathers, fathers that are desperate. One whose child has been kidnapped, trying to what he'll do to get his child back. Another one whose child is facing death without help. So just watch this little clip and we'll open the word together.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck.
This is Lieutenant Frank Grimes of Chicago Police Department. Are you the man in charge?
That's right.
Well, who am I speaking to?
John Q.
I assume since all the doors are locked, this is a hostage situation. Is that correct?
Okay. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I know you do things your own way.
Blood pressure is dropping fast. He's going into cardiac arrest.
But I don't understand.
Mike's heart is useless. He's going to need a transplant or he's going to die.
What made Mike so sick?
Transplant surgery is very expensive.
We got insurance.
There are no provisions in your policy for a procedure of this magnitude.
All right, you want money. I'll get you the money.
We've recently switched carriers.
We only give assistance to patients without coverage.
I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Have you tried Medicaid?
No, you don't qualify.
My son is dying. I'm broke. If I don't qualify, who the hell does?
I've done everything I can do. I'm sorry.
Please.
They are releasing him. Now you need to do something.
I'll take care of
him. Hear me? Do something!
The hospital's under new management now. Everybody does exactly what I say, nobody will get hurt. More hurt. I want my kid's name on the donor's list.
This is going to end up bad for you, John.
Police will do whatever is necessary to preserve the lives of these hostages.
Oh, they're telling me I got to take my son home and watch him die.
If you could speak to John Q right now, what would you say to him?
I'm there with you and you take care.
5:15, Frank. Something happens for me.
Are you praying for him, baby?
Yes, I'm praying, sweetheart.
He's a good kid. You'd like him. I am not gonna bury my son.
I got a shot at this guy and I'm gonna take it.
My son is gonna bury me.
Take the shot.
How's it gonna end, John?
I don't know.
I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. But more than just being there, providing for them, he's to walk with them through their young lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. The father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect. And should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel, only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, we'll give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and His blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you, and to say, I will. I will. I will.
Very powerful clips. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we gather this day, Lord, on this Father's Day. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Father in heaven, Lord, that you're so passionately in love with us. Father, that your heart is for us. Lord, we want to honor you this day, Lord. So, Lord, we just commit this word to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You saw three little clips there. The first one with a father, that daughter had been kidnapped in a foreign country and just desperate to get his daughter back. And just think, if you're a parent, if someone took your child, that you'll do anything to try to save your child, to rescue your child. Certainly that's something the heart of the father you saw in that second clip. You saw a man whose son, they're just going to send him home to die. Sorry, no insurance. And that's based on a true story, actually. And miraculously, a heart transplant came through. The child was actually saved. And in the end, you see these men are making a declaration to stand as men and to fight and protect for their families. And that's really what I want to speak about this morning, about the heart of a man to protect their family. But more than that, the heart of the Father, your Father in heaven, to protect you and to stand for you. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's a promise of the Lord, that He will be a father to us. And there's something about the heart of a father to protect. And in our modern society, men are being challenged about what it is to be a man. In fact, if anything, they're trying to emasculate manhood in many ways and try to make men more feminine and more soft and gentle. And all those things are an important part. If you look at God our Father, He certainly has that heart of nurturing and caring and loving. But there's something that's wired into a heart of a man that causes a man to stand up and to protect and to fight for his family, to fight for what is right. And I certainly know as a father, if anyone was messing with my family, they were threatened. If a stranger came, someone came and tried to hurt them or abduct them, I would stand and I would fight for them. I would defend them. I would defend them even with my own life. I'm sure I would do that. And I'm sure there's not a father here that if that situation came, you would stand in the gap if something happened there. Something about the wiring of a man, that God has put that within our hearts. And I want to talk about this whole aspect of protection and protecting as a father, and the heart of protecting that God has even for us. But certainly to stand in that place and to protect and to cover in that way. And as I said, those stories are very dramatic about wanting to do that. But any father would. There's something in a man that says, I will stand and I will fight, I will protect. You know, it's interesting that the world is an irony in the world at the moment. I mean, I don't know if you heard about the thing now with men wearing nail polish. Now, it's not because they're strange. It's because they're doing that as a stand against children that are getting abused and attacked. It's a way of getting attention. But one of the sad things is that the very thing that that God has hardwired men to have, this protective instinct that we have that God has put within us, is that like what everything else in the world where the devil can try to get in there is when men actually turn the very thing that's supposed to defend their wife and defend their children, is that when men turn that around and it becomes violence, aggression against the very ones that he's supposed to be protecting. And it's a sad thing, you know, domestic violence is such an enormous problem, particularly in our area, in this area here, even in Brimbank. I really feel sorry for the police because they're constantly, the biggest thing that they face dealing in their daily life is going into a home where there's some sort of violence or threats or something happening. And they're constantly walking into that all of the time. It's a sad state of affairs in our society where men that are not actually standing and doing what they're supposed to do. In fact, the very thing, that instinct, that fighting instinct, it's not to be used against, but it's supposed to be there to protect and to defend. And that's certainly the heart of God that God has for us, that God is a father that fights for us. And I really want to talk about that heart of protecting. And certainly as men, for those who are fathers, but even if you're not a father here, you're still a man, and there's something about being a man that wants to defend and wants to fight for those that are suffering. You know, if you saw a little child getting hit or beaten by some strange person, you would jump in and you would defend them. Of course you would. You'd stand in there, and there's something in that that's hardwired in our lives. And I just want to remind us of that today, that certainly God's heart, but there's that instinct that we have to protect. And I really want to talk about that protection that the Father actually provides. And certainly we just see that, we saw the desperation in those couple of clips there. Fathers that are just desperate for their children. We just see how our Father in heaven is, how desperate he is for us. You just imagine the desperation of a father and your heavenly Father that loves you so much. It is the most desperate act that God can do. And that is to give his own son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place for our sin. Well, what an act of desperate love that was from God, who loves you and who loves me so much that he would give Jesus to die in our place rather than us getting what we deserve. Not even an injustice. What would happen to us is not an injustice. It is totally fair that we suffer the penalty of the sin and all of the things that we've messed up in our life. It's totally fair. There's no injustice in that. But God, so with a great desperate love for us, did everything for us in sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. What an amazing Father that is. He protected us even from the consequences of our own willful obedience and stupidity, that we turned away from the things of God and he made a way for us. Such is that heart, that is that the Father's heart to protect, and our Heavenly Father's heart to protect you and to protect me and to stand in that gap. I want to talk about very quickly this morning about that protecting heart. Certainly as a natural father, that's something that we've got to be guarding for, and that instinct needs to be honed and to be sharp. You know, those that are in a theme for the year called a war, and those that are trained in the things of war, they're always alert and they're very sharp. They're watching, they're listening for every sound, they're looking, they're paying attention to everything that is going on around them because the stakes are very, very high. And there's something as men and as fathers, we need to be very sharp and we need to be very alert to the threats and things that would even try to come against us and even come against our families, the one that we love. And if you're a man, a godly man, a man of God, then you're not only just guarding for your own family, but guard for those that maybe they don't have a godly father, that you would stand in that role and begin to intercede in that way. But certainly the heart of God is to protect us. And God desperately will protect us. And that's the thing that always is such a wonderful assurance for me. You know, we've been singing this morning about if God be for us, then who can be against us? But think about it for a moment, that God is your Father in heaven. Now, if a human father would go to whatever lengths it took to save and protect his family, you'd jump in to the raging torrent, even if you couldn't swim, you'd try to do that. And you hear stories of heroism where someone who couldn't even swim, then maybe they even gave their life that they save their child. But how much desperate is God's love for us that he would come and intercede and intervene from us. But how strong is our Father in heaven. It says in Deuteronomy 33:27, and I love this picture. It says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So you've got the arms of God underneath you. the strong arms of God carrying you in the middle of your despair, even all of the things that go against you. We all go through stuff, things that hit us from every side, but the picture of God's everlasting arms underneath us. But in the middle of that, it talks about a conflict that's obviously going on. It talks about enemies. And we face threats from all different things. Sometimes it's just ourselves. Sometimes it's from other people. Many, we have an enemy. We know that there's a devil out there that wants to bring people down and hold them in slavery. But this picture of God, is, it says, is God is holding in the everlasting arms. And he will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them. And what a wonderful image of God's protection for us. That God holds us tenderly in his arm as a father. But just imagine that if a father had a little child there and there was just some big vicious dog with more teeth than you can imagine. And the child is there and vulnerable. This dog is going to go for your child. And a dog can do some nasty things to a child. And so as a father, you scoop your child up in your arms. And then there's this savage dog trying to have a go. You'd be in there, but you would hold the child to the side, and whatever it took, you would be there. You'd defend that child. And that's the wonderful image that is here, that God actually carries us in his arms, God himself protecting us. And the enemy trying to have a go at us. Well, God, who is God, actually, he's not just a man. We have our own weaknesses and frailties, but we have the everlasting Father in heaven who holds us in his arm. And then the enemy there is trying to have a go at us, and then God is just pushing away. And that's just a wonderful picture of safety and protection that we have in our Lord. So when you feel that the enemy is having a go at you, when the enemy wants to bring you down, when the enemy's there barking and many teeth, and you think the circumstances are going to be overwhelming, just have that picture that God just scoops you up in his arms. And the sovereign one is there, and he will guard you and protect you against every work of the enemy. What a wonderful thing that we have a father in heaven that will protect us. Some don't have earthly fathers that are around and maybe feel a little bit vulnerable because of that. But no, God says, I'm one who stands in the gap. It says in Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6, he says that I am the father of the fatherless. I am the defender of the widows. He says that. He says, I'm the one that sets the lonelies in families. God is an awesome God, and God himself stands in that gap. If you're a father, you need to stand in that gap. You need to protect your family, whatever it takes. Wherever the danger comes, you need to stand, and we need to be strong and draw on that strength and energy that God has. But even where there's not a father around, God himself will be the one who'll then hold in the arms and begin to stand and protect. He is an awesome, awesome God. And Psalm 91:14, this is a wonderful promise from the Lord. It says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. What a wonderful promise from your Father in heaven. Because you love him, the Lord says he's going to protect you. He's going to guard you and stand in that place. So whatever comes your way, knowing that you have a Father in heaven that will protect you against that. And do that with such a passion. As I said, a human father, you mess with their kids, you're in trouble. You mess with my kids, you're in trouble. And the same way, but that's just a man's feeling, part of that hardwired thing that's been built into a man's heart. But how much more your Father in heaven? Someone wants to mess with his kids. Someone wants to mess with his children. Your Father, he loves you so much. He's going to stand there and he'll protect you. And he's not a weak God. He's not a God that is a weak God. Now look, I had a lot of security from my own father. My father was not a fit man in any shape or form. He was very large and very unfit. But even him in his physical condition, which if there was a fight, he probably wouldn't be the one that you'd be thinking is going to win this fight. But the fact that he was there always was such a security. To be there, the fact that knowing that he's there. If they came to a fight, probably wasn't going to be one, but the fact that he's there always meant something to me as a child. But how much more to us now that we have a Father in heaven that is always there for us. And he's not out of shape. He's not very unfit. He's actually fit, primed. He's actually ready to go. He's ready to stand and defend you and to protect you. What an amazing Father that we have in heaven. The devil tries to mess with you. He's not just messing with you. He's messing with your Father. He's messing with your Father. As I said, you try to touch my kids and I will stand in the way and I'll defend them with my very life. Well, you have a Father in heaven that defended you with your very life, actually by giving Jesus on the cross, Jesus dying on the cross. and so that we should never be ones that are in fear. We have a Father that is so committed to us, but is not only committed, He is also all-powerful God. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." So why should we ever have fear? Because of the natural instinct of a man who's been made in the image of God is to stand and protect. How much more is the instinct of your Father in heaven to go into bat for you, to fight for you, to stand in the gap? We've been singing about it. We sing those songs. We sing them quite easily because we like the songs, we like the words. But if we actually had that in our spirit, if God is fighting for us, then who can be against us? Who can be against us? And yet we get overwhelmed so easily in our own humanity, in our weakness and failure. But if we just carry that picture of God, I carry that picture that when I feel like this thing is trying to get me, Lord just picks me up and then the Lord Himself is there fighting for me. What a wonderful picture that is, that God protects us. You know, I heard an interesting story from Doris. Doris had surgery on her back, part of her recovery, and, you know, it's a slow process of recovering. But one day she had this dream which she told me about, and I just see this is how God protects us in an amazing way. She's sort of in that half awake, half dream sort of state, you know, she's having this dream. And in this dream, there's this one that comes to her and says, "Look, you need to get up. You really need to get up right now. You need to get up now." But she's lying there thinking, "Oh, but my back, you know, I'm in pain, you know, I've had the surgery, I'm in pain." And there was like these other voices there that were saying to her, "It's okay, just sleep. You're in pain, you know, you've had your back. Just need to relax, just to rest." And so she's sort of wrestling within this sort of dream thing that's sort of happening to her. And about, no, this urgency. You got to get up right now. You need to get up right now. And this sudden, no, it's okay. It's all right. You know, you need to rest. You had a... And so she's, and then all of a sudden this voice is saying, "No, get up right now. You need to get up right now." And then suddenly she saw this picture. She saw like a stretcher carried out, and there was this black thing on it. It was like a black corpse carried out on this stretcher. And then in this little dream, she's sort of horrified, and that's me. And then the voice said again, "You need to get up right now." So she sort of snapped up and got up, and then she got up, struggled up a little bit, went, stumbled into the kitchen, and was almost overwhelmed with the smell of gas. In fact, it was very strong. She tried it. She didn't have the strength to open a window. She was almost overtaken by the smell of gas in her house. So she went and got Joe, woke up Joe. Joe came and opened the window. Apparently what had happened is one of the sons had used the oven early before he went off to work in the morning. And there was a fault on their oven. And so for 40 minutes, it was just spewing out gas into that room. And you know, you have gas, you have a spark. And I just see that was really, you know, she was a little confused. What was that dream about? And I said, "I would just praise God He saved your lives. That He's warning you that if you don't do something, that's what would have happened to you." And anyway, the gas people came and they fixed whatever, all the leaks and whatever, it was all fixed up. But God protects us. God is able to protect you. God protects you in ways that you don't even know. God's hand and grace is there. Sometimes God's telling us and He's warning us, but we don't always listen to what God is saying because it maybe doesn't seem convenient or comfortable, or is it just me, or what is it? But God will stand there. God will protect you. That's God's heart for us. Another thing that God wants to protect us from, and certainly as fathers, is that we stand in that gap as protection, is the whole area of providing. And it's such an important role that a father has, is provision. But I see it more than just being provision. I really see it as being protecting, but protecting from poverty. That's the heart of a father in that whole area of providing for their family. Some fathers take that to the extreme where that they spend all of their time trying to provide and protect from poverty, but then they forget everything else. They're not there at the moment of crisis. They're not there to stand in the gap because they're off. And they get the balance wrong. It's not always easy learning the balance of these things. But certainly God is the one that wants us to have that heart that we do protect and provide for our families. It says in 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Ouch. It's a very strong scripture, isn't it? It says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. God actually sees that as a part of the role of a father, is that, that part of protecting your family is to provide and to do that. And we need to be doing that. We need to be faithful in that. But also we always got to remember too that we have a father that is very committed to looking after us in heaven. A father that is committed to looking after us. A father that has a heart for us even in these areas of provision. Matthew 6:26, this is where Jesus is saying, look at the birds of the air. And saw some great good looking birds during the week. Little rosellas and beautiful little parrots that I saw. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Aren't you that much more valuable than that? That if God actually cares about a little bird, some little sparrows we don't even pay attention to. Some birds, you know, we got birds galore around our place. We've got trees, and where there's trees, there's birds, and you got birds everywhere. You throw down a bit of bread, bang, they're like the piranhas of the sky. They're there. Birds everywhere. And so little birds, so many birds, and in the end, you don't take any particular attention to any particular one bird. There's all lots of birds hanging around our place. I don't know the birds by name, and I don't want to know them by name. And half the time I don't even notice them. I'm oblivious to these birds. But God himself, the Father in heaven, he actually cares about a little sparrow, and he feeds them and he looks after them and he cares for them. And then he says, well, how much more valuable are you than them? And so we've got to be mindful that we have a Father that he's ready to bat for us. He's not only going to protect you from when the enemy tries to have a go at you, because you mess with him, the devil messes with you, he's messing with God and he's in trouble. You've got to watch out, tries to mess with you. But more than that too, that God actually is a provider, and he will provide. If you provide for a little sparrow, how much more is your Father in heaven going to look after you? You know, there's people that face jobs, you know, insecurity, unemployment in this state, it's gone up from 5.7 to 6.4%. And particularly for guys, this whole area of provision is a big deal. It is a big deal because it's part of your wiring. It's a part of how God has also made you to be a provider. And as I said, some people get the wires crossed a little bit and go too far in that, and that becomes the end game rather than just the means to guarding and protecting your family. But there's something about that, about having that heart to provide. But God himself, he does do that for us. God is your provider. Unemployment may be rising. Manufacturing is in trouble, they're saying. All of those things. But ultimately, God is the one. God is our provider, isn't he? And if he cares that much over a little bird that you don't even pay attention to, how much more attention does our Father in heaven pay to us, the ones that he died for, the ones that he gave everything for? And so we have that heart of a father. He protects us. What a wonderful father we have in heaven. The other thing that a father does is, a part of the role of a father is to protect the children particularly from making stupid decisions. Hands up if you've ever made a stupid decision. Yeah, well, we have. And Lord, I pray for all the liars who don't have their hands up. Lord, forgive them. We've all made stupid decisions. I mean, look, we do. Some, you know, we like to think we're always listening, but sometimes we're not. Sometimes we make a stupid decision. But if we were listening to God, he would save us a lot of heartache, I'm sure. Because the role of a natural father is to protect the kids from doing, you know, crazy things. It's not a good idea. You know, some of the clips on YouTube, and I know that some of you see them, of these people doing the most stupid things. I mean, you know, they're skateboarding off the roof, and they wonder why they end up in hospital afterwards. I think, well, you know, it doesn't take a lot. People do anything because they've got a camera these days and put it on YouTube. And our hospitals are full of these people that tried to do all of this stuff. Maybe their father needs to say, look, it's not a smart thing to do that. You know, if you go skateboarding off a 5-story building, probably not going to be a good idea to do that. People do that sort of stuff. You haven't tried that, I hope. Have you, Quentin? No, you haven't done that. He's done some interesting things, but he hasn't tried that one on the skateboard yet. But part of a father is hard is to say, that's not a good idea. It's a part of putting some parameters and putting some guidance in there and saying, and I'm doing this to protect you. It's not a great idea. You know, when our kids are little, we tell them, don't put your finger in the plug, you know, in the power plug, because that hairstyle is not going to suit you when you do. We warn them, don't we? And that's part of the role of a father, is to give that advice, to give that protection. In fact, it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, it says this, and this is Paul talking, for he says, you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And it's a part of that ministry of a father is to do that, is to give that guidance, protect them from making foolish choices. Because there's a world out there, I tell you what, the world has everything on display. The world has a smorgasbord of things that are destructive that are out there. You know, you even hear about this problem with ice, you know, crystal meth. And so many young people. Did you read that in the paper about, like, is it 54 in every 1,000 or something? Some huge amount of people, and some huge another percentage, high percentage of people that have tried it and involved in these things. And our young people are vulnerable to that, because when they first take that, it actually gives them a focus. They suddenly sharp. Oh, bang. They're sharp, they can study better, they think clearer, they do all of this when they immediately and they feel euphoric, all these good feelings, but then afterwards, bang, that's when they have the depression and psychotic episodes and all of the stuff that happens to them afterwards. But they're not sold on that part, they're sold on the first part of it, and people get hooked on these things. And we need to guard. We need to guard alcohol. You know, you remember those ads? Did you see those ads where the father there, you see the father there drinking all the time, and the little kid getting the beers, and the little child grows up, and that's it, he becomes an alcoholic, because that's what's been modeled. Fathers, we've got to protect our children from making foolish choices, and one of the ways that we do that is not to make the stupid choices ourselves, because they'll follow us, and so that's part of learning. But we have a Father in heaven that guards us as well, and I praise God for that. And I pray that we listen, excuse me, to our Father in heaven more, that we'd listen to him. It says in Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age. That's what we need. We need that. That's what our society needs. It needs men that will stand up and fathers that will stand up and live those godly, upright lives. And to model that and to live that and to help make those choices. And God does that. I praise God, because I think there's many times where God has probably not only saved me from doing something stupid, but probably even from dying by listening to God and listening to his voice and knowing the prompting of what God has. God is a father. He protects us and he guards us from making silly choices. And sometimes people make choices and say, well, I didn't know. Well, the reason you didn't know is because you didn't read the Bible. Some people make choices that are so obviously wrong in terms of what God has said in his word, and yet they run off and do that. Why would you do that? You have a Father in heaven that's given us his very word. He's given us the word of God, and yet people choose to violate those principles, live contrary to that, and then they wonder, why is there a mess now in my life? We have a Father that is so committed to us that he gave us his word, the living word of God. Read the word of God. Imbibe the word of God. Live the word of God. And God, that'll guard your heart. You have a Father that is committed to you, that you won't make foolish decisions and choices that have destructive repercussions, not only for you, but even for the generations to follow. And so there's something about listening to God and protecting from foolish choices. You know, there's a lot of scams out there. And, you know, to protect your kids from being scammed. It'll happen. It can happen. And so we need to be alert from that. Be alert of what your kids are, parents, you know, what they're doing on Facebook. But most kids these days are moving off that. They go onto Instagram and other things, because I know your parents are on Facebook. So they go to something that their parents aren't on. Well, parents, we need to be alert to that. We need to know what's going on. We need to cover our kids in that way, because there's a whole lot of bad stuff out there and we need to be alert to that. But how much more does our Father in heaven guard us if we just listen to him? How often do we have heartache? How often do people struggle in life is simply because they weren't listening to what God said? said, oh, I didn't hear anything. Did you read it in God's word? Oh, yeah, yeah. And so compromise leads to so much destruction. So we need to listen to God. He protects us from that. And the other way that God protects us, and certainly as fathers, it's one thing. See, you can't be with your kids all the time. I really wish I could. I wish I could be with my kids all of the time, because they face environments that are hostile environments. I remember when Joshua first went to university, you know, he's at uni and, you know, getting part of the orientation there, and he has a communist Marxist on this side, and he has lesbians on this side, and, you know, he's come from a pretty sheltered world. And, you know, a family that's care, but there's a world out there. But I can't be with him. I can't go to uni with him. Sure, Josh will be really impressed. Daddy's sitting next to him in his lectures. He'll really appreciate that. Same with, you know, our kids at school and the things they're involved in. Actually, I remember when they were working, you know, even, you know, being a referee, you know, being a basketball referee. You know, parents aren't always the best people to be watching their children playing sport. And if a decision goes against their little Johnny, man, some of them are there, you know, they're ready to carve up the ref. I remember one game, saw one of them is having a go at Joshua. Man, it took every bit of self-control just to sit there, shut up, because he's at work, it's his workplace, not to tell the father who made a comment, right, buddy, you sure? Like, self-control to do that. But it's part of allowing them to stand for themselves. And as fathers, that's what we want to do. We want our kids to stand, because we can't be with them all everywhere that they go. In fact, when Jesus went in John 17, he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they're still in the world. And I'm going to you, the Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so they may be one as we, as one. See, Jesus didn't hang around. He went to the Father, but what he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is with us to teach us in the ways of righteousness, to teach us in the things of God. And as a father, I can't always be with my kids, but I can try to put values into my kids so that I trust them. You know, I'll protect them in every way that I can. And that's the heart of a father to do that. But more than that, you want to teach them that they will stand strong on their own two feet. Because as a natural father, I can't be with all my kids. I can't be in three places at once anyway, even if I wanted to. But more than that is for us to stand on our own feet. And that's certainly the heart of our Heavenly Father. He wants us to have a resilience within our own heart that we begin to understand that, hang on, I'm not a little baby anymore. I'm not a little crybaby anymore. I'm going to stand in the things of God. And whatever comes my way, I'm going to stand strong in Jesus Christ. I might not have all of the answers, and I might not know all the things that I'm supposed to do, but there's something within me that the Lord himself has placed within. We know we've got the Holy Spirit within us. And God wants us to develop that. Even as a natural father, your kids, you want to build stuff into your kids that they will stand in a wicked world. How much more our Father in heaven wants stuff to be built into us that we would stand in a wicked and sinful world. And he has built into us. He's built the word of God into our lives. And I trust that you're building that into your own heart and your life, but also the power of the Holy Spirit that's there within us as well, so that we don't have to fall into a heap all of the time. You know, we do face pressures. There's times where you think, man, where did this come from? And you get hit from all sides at times. But there's something about that there's a strength that God builds into our hearts and lives. And that's what the father does. A natural father wants to build that for their own kids, that they have a resilience. They can make the right choices. They know what is right. They know what is wrong. And to have something within them that helps them as they progress through life. And how much more our Father in heaven has that heart for us. And he doesn't want us to make the wrong choices. He doesn't want us to go for anguish and heartache. We have a Father that is there for us. But more than that, he's also within us as well. And has also given us the capacity to stand in the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. To know that we don't have to fall over. You don't have to give in to sin. You don't have to compromise. Don't have to make excuses, that you can stand in what your Father in heaven has given you. And I praise God that we have a Father for us. That as men, our job is to teach our kids to honor, to teach them to respect. And it's amazing how there's not a lot of respect these days, particularly to authority, but it's our job to teach that and to teach a strong work ethic, teach our kids that there's consequences. There are consequences. And in life, there are consequences, and we can't shield from that. If your child commits a crime, there's a consequence for them. And as a parent, there's nothing you can do. There's a consequence that would have to flow from all of those things, the consequences. Teach your kids, there's consequences in life. We want to build resilience in them. We want them to stand strong. But God certainly wants each of us to stand strong. We have a Father in heaven that is so committed. And on Father's Day, we do honor fathers. And fathers, be fathers. Protect your kids. Guard your kids with everything that you have, with everything that you are. Stand in the place for your kids. Be men of God. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Cover them. Love them. Look after them. Nurture them. Fight for them. Defend them. But more than that, to remember on a day such as Father's Day that we have a Father in heaven, that whatever natural man might try to do for his children, you have a Father in heaven. How much more will the perfect Father, not the imperfect human Father that you are or that you may have had, but your perfect Father in heaven will stand for you, will guard you, will protect you, will provide for you, that will give you the sound judgment, the right guidance and the leadings that you need. Because sometimes people say, oh, I don't really know what to do. Well, then find out. Ask him. God will tell you. He's not the author of confusion. He says that in his word. He will tell you. He will actually tell you if you ask him. He will tell you. He will lead you. He will guide you. And he wants you to stand strong and to build yourself up. That's what we call Grow Church, about growing, that you will grow in who you are in God, that you don't stay as a little baby with a wet nappy and howling all the time. You stand strong in the things of God and you begin to be productive. A little baby grows up into a child, becomes a man that begins to be productive and do something of value. And God wants us to do something of eternal value by serving him in his kingdom and to see people coming to Jesus Christ. That's the heart of God and our Father in heaven. So can we stand this morning? I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us on this Father's Day, that we know that we have a Father in heaven that do anything for us. If you're here today, you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. You have a Father in heaven that loves you so much that he gave Jesus for you, that you wouldn't have to stand in your own sin, but you'd have that erased by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you'd be holy before God, that you can have eternal life. The promise and blessing of that is yours. Plus, having God in your life, having God on your side, not just a song, but the reality of God on your side in your life. If that's you today, I'd love to pray with you when we close the service in just a little while. But let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we have a Father that is so committed to us. Lord, whatever our natural father was, whether they were a good father, Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord, if they had failings, Lord, but Lord, we honor them anyway, Lord, because they did their best with what they had. But Father, we want to honor you. Lord, you are the Father, the perfect Father. And Lord, that you stand, Lord, and you protect your children. Lord, you fight for your children, Lord. You're a strong Father, the perfect Father that stands for us, Lord. And we're in awe of that, Lord, that we will not have fear, Lord. We're not to be despairing, Lord. Father, because we're never going to be overwhelmed. We have a Father that will fight for us, who'll defend us, Lord, with everything that you are. And Lord, we are so grateful for that. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you provide for us. Lord, that we're not at the whims of the world and of the bosses and the companies, but Father, that we're under you, under your provision, Lord. You are the provider. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we don't have to make stupid decisions and make dumb choices. Lord, that we can listen to your counsel. Lord, not make decisions out of our emotion and out where we're feeling, but Father, that we're going to listen to your guiding and to your direction. And Father, I thank you. Lord, you want us to grow up. Lord, not to be childish, Lord, not to make childish decisions, Lord, not to have childish behavior, Lord, not to fall over, Lord, every time, but Lord, to stand strong in you. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're not only calling us to this, but Lord, that you've given us the capacity, Lord, you've given us the Holy Spirit within us, Lord, that we can stand strong in this life. Lord, even in a sinful world, Lord, we can stand as the shining lights. Lord, that we can stand as the examples of integrity, of truthfulness, of purity, Lord, of honor. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you call every one of us, Lord, that you're our Father, and we honor you this Father's Day, Lord. Let us stand in who you are and who you've made us and called us to be. Lord, we want to honor you this day in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. We're just going to worship as we sing this.